Astamevir Devyam Tu.
Astamevir Devyam Tu.
Nabhijato Rukrama.
Nabhijato Rukrama.
Darsayan Vartamaviranam.
Darsayan Vartamaviranam.
Sarvasama Namaskritam.
Sarvasama Namaskritam.
Astame.
Astame.
The eighth of the incarnations.
The eighth of the incarnations.
Merudevyam.
Merudevyam.
Tu. In the womb of Merudevi.
In the womb of Merudevi.
The wife of.
The wife of.
Nabe.
Nabe.
King Nabi.
King Nabi.
Jataha.
Jataha.
Took birth.
Took birth.
Urukramaha.
Urukramaha.
The all-powerful Lord. Darsayan, by showing Varma, the way Divana, of the perfect beings,
Sarva,
all
Asrama,
orders of life, Namaskritam, honored by. Translation. The eighth incarnation was King Rishab, son of King Nabi, and his wife Merudevi. In this incarnation, the Lord showed the path of perfection which is followed by those who have fully controlled their senses and are honored by all orders of life. The society of human beings is naturally divided into eight by orders and statuses of life. The four divisions of occupation and four divisions of cultural advancement. The intelligent class, the administrative class, the productive class, and the labor class are the four divisions of occupation. And the student life, the householder life, retired life, and renounced life are the four statuses of cultural advancement towards the path of spiritual realization. Out of these, the renowned order of life, or the order of sannyas, is considered the highest of all. And a sannyasi is constitutionally the spiritual master for all the orders and divisions. In the sannyas order, also there are four stages of upliftment toward perfection. These stages are called Pujichat, Bahuda, Parivradikacharya, and Paramahansa. The Paramahansa stage of life is the highest stage of perfection. This order of life is respected by all others. Maharajisab, the son of King Nabi, and Merudevi was an incarnation of the Lord, and he instructed his son to follow the path of perfection to Tapasya, which sanctifies one's existence and enables one to attain the state of spiritual happiness, which is eternal and ever increasing. Every living being is searching after happiness, but no one knows where eternal and unlimited happiness is obtainable. Foolish men seek after material sense pleasure as a substitute for real happiness. But such foolish men forget that temporary so-called happiness derived from sense pleasures is also enjoyed by the dogs and hogs. No animal, bird or beast is bereft of this sense pleasure. In every species of life, including the human form of life, such happiness is immensely obtainable. The human form of life, however, is not meant for such cheap happiness. The human life is meant for attaining eternal and unlimited happiness by spiritual realization. This spiritual realization is obtained by tapasya, or undergoing voluntarily the path of penance and abstinence from material pleasure. Those who have been trained from abstinence in material pleasure are called dhira, or men undisturbed by the senses. Only these dhiras can accept the order of sannyas, and they can gradually rise to the stage of the Paramahansa, which is adored by all members of society. King Rishabdev propagated this mission, and at the last stage, he became completely aloof from the material body, bodily needs, which is a rare stage, not to be imitated by foolish men, but to be worshipped by all. Om Agyanati Manandasya Agyanandana Salakya Shakshuramitam Yena Tasmai Sigurive Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is summarizing the teaching, the life and teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. Lord Rishabhdev took up the renounced order. He left home, but before doing so, he instructed his 100 sons. So that is important, that one must train his family members. One must somehow or other try at least to bring one's family to spiritual life. It may not always be successful, but that endeavor should be there. Then at one point one places them under the care of Krishna, and in that way one takes to the renounced order of life. Not that one waits till everything is perfectly arranged and that everything is 100% in order and that all the family members are completely provided for and then one can go. No. One makes reasonable arrangement within one's means and then one just one goes and depends on the Supreme Lord. He will provide. He will take care. We are not the actual caretaker. It is Krishna who is the caretaker of all our dependents. Lord Rishabhdev was taken to the renounced order, and when he instructed his sons, he said, Nayam deho deha vajamnya loke kastam kamam arate vibhujyam ye tapo divyam putrakayena satvam sujetyas mat brahmasokyam tonantam. So this verse from the fifth canto is the basis of this purport, where Srila Prabhupada is describing that this human form of life is not meant for sense gratification, which is available to the vidbujam, the stool eaters, such as hawks and dogs. The human form of life is meant for tapasya, tapo divyam, transcendental tapasya. Not just any tapasya, but austerity in devotional service. Then through such austerity and devotional service, Brahma Sukhyam, then Brahma Sukha will be attained, or transcendental happiness, which is beyond the three modes of material nature. That is more or less the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev summarized. Such teachings are still followed today. They are relevant to us now. We are still trying to become pure devotees based on the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev. One can read these prayers. And we see that Lord Rishabhdev was very detached. He followed a process which is known as Jada Yoga. Jada Yoga is to become completely oblivious to the material energy. It is said Jada Yoga is to become like a stone. So in Jada Yoga, one is simply not taking any feelings or anything in consideration and just focuses on his spiritual goal. We cannot do that. But a little bit, we must do that also. Our process is very different. We're following the process of Bhakti Yoga, which is positive engagement in the service of Krishna, which gradually develops attachment within us and which lifts us above the material desires. Therefore, austerity is not our principal process. It is only for our support. Because in this age of Kali, everyone has become weak and austerity is very rarely attained. Therefore, it said, Asvamedam gavalambam sanyasam palapaitrakam devarena sutupatim pancha. What is it? Panchakalim vivarjayet. That five types of activities are forbidden in the age of Kali. We cannot, and one of them is taking sannyas. taking sannyas in this age of Kali is forbidden in the scripture, because it is said that one no longer has the capacity to just live on the basis of austerity. But Vaishnava sannyas, which is the real sannyas, is of a different nature, because it is based on developing a higher taste in service. So then the renunciation is not so rigid and the austerity is not so great. So then even men of this age can take sannyas. Therefore it is said, etansa staya paratmanistam ajasitam purvatamam mahadbir aham tarishanti turanta param tamomukundangri nisevyeva. That the sannyasi is crossing the ocean of nescience by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation. And that is our process, taking shelter of Krishna, becoming absorbed in service to Krishna, becoming absorbed in hearing about Krishna. And somehow or other, that absorption is taking us away from absorption in the material energy. For so long, anadi bahya mukha. For so long we have been involved with the material energy, always thinking about the material energy. And Bhagavad Gita is speaking about the material energy and divides it up in eight elements. Bhumira Pognalo Vayu Kamana Budri Ivacha Ahankramityame Vina Prakriti Rastada. These eight separate energies of Krishna, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Then Krishna says in the next verse, Aparehamitas Tranyam Prakritin Vinime Param Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yayedandayate Jagat. That the living beings, they are a different energy, the Apar Shakti. And these living entities, Yayedam Dayate Jagat, they are keeping themselves preoccupied with manipulating the material energy for their pleasure. So this is what is going on, that manipulation. So for so long, we're trying to manipulate the material energy in so many ways, and endless varieties of making it nicer. It's amazing. If you look at what furniture we have in the house, right? So many things, all to make it a little more comfortable, a little more agreeable. Different kinds of tablecloth, and then different kinds of plate, different kinds of cups, different kinds of just spoons, right? So many different kinds of spoons, right? Just like all kinds of, yeah, for serving prasadam. It's amazing how many arrangements we have, different spoons for eating, ice cream spoons, cake forks, and God knows the cups and saucers you have. And if you have a house fully decked out and you have everything, all the cutlery, and you have all the different bedding arrangements, right? For summer, for winter, for this, that, you know, like different kind of sheets. I mean, it's incredible. And you need, each time when you move, you need to get a huge truck and you have to pack everything in 500 boxes and you have to number them and mark them and make checklists so that you can find out. And you know what I mean? It's a whole thing. But to speak of all the furniture, different types of chairs to sit in, straight chairs, lazy chairs, you know, chairs where you can put your legs up, right? Little tables just next door, and where you can put your cup made of special beautiful wood so that when you see them your eyes get ecstatic, and then you get one of these little things under it so that your cup doesn't make a ring on your beautiful table. And then, you know, flower vases to bring pleasure. All kinds of flower arrangements cost a fortune, right? Buy all those flowers at a high price and the whole house gets fragrant and it's just wonderful nature in your house. Enormous plants, you know, half trees, then because trees are too big, we have bonsai trees, you know, mini trees, right? They fit in the house and so on, and there's just no end to the arrangements, right? And garbage cans with ruffles to make them look more beautiful, And geez, and it doesn't stop. Even the toilet is decorated, and everything in the whole house is taken care of. Nothing hasn't been taken care of to make sure that life is made a little bit more pleasurable while we're in this world. Phew, got that off my chest. Well, what to say? So, to be just simple, to be very simple, is a great asset. And we see that the great sages were voluntarily keeping themselves simple. It is that austerity is the wealth of the Brahmanas. And to voluntarily be prepared to live simple, as simple as possible, that actually is very favorable. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, well, it's not always that simple, because we have another philosophy. We have a philosophy of not just renunciation, but we have a philosophy of pushing on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mission of devotional service. And for that, we can get involved with all kinds of complications. We can again get involved with electronics. We can get again involved with vehicles. We can again get involved with so many different arrangements for the sake of preaching now. Not for our own personal living. We can live simple, but for preaching, so many things we can have. There was a team of devotee hackers, right? And they were just hacking into computers, and they were quite good. They managed, they had their slogan, call out Gauranga and be happy. And they managed to hack into hundreds and millions of computers. And on the screen it just showed up, call out Gauranga and be happy. So this is transcendental hacking. Yes, that is purifying. That is all right. So in this way, yukta vairagya, all kinds of activities are being connected with the Supreme Lord. Somehow or other, it can be done. And in that way, Krishna consciousness penetrates in all kinds of communities. We see in the Chaitanya Bhagavata the story of Lord Nityananda. And how Lord Nityananda was not your average sadhu. Open your mouth like that, a demon comes out. When you yawn, a demon comes out, and that demon attacks someone else. And then the yawning goes all around the room. But if you do like this, in front of the open mouth, you won't attack. Sitting right in front of me like a lion. I beg your pardon. It wasn't meant in a bad way. Anyway, so we are trying to simplify our life for the sake of being able to chant Hare Krishna. That's the reason. There's no other reason. We can have everything. We can have the biggest house in the street, no problem. We can have 5 cars in front of the door if we want to, one for every family member. It's not forbidden for a devotee. The only problem is when you have all that, where is the time to chant Hare Krishna? We may remember Prabhupada on his morning walk with the devotees and walking in quite an affluent neighborhood. And Prabhupada pointed at a big house and said, one day we will have a big house like that. The devotees jive, Prabhupada. Then there was a big car. Prabhupada said, yes, one day we'll have a big car like that. The devotees said, jive, Prabhupada. And because they were in this mood, just jive, Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, yes. They came past the house and there was a big dog. And he said, and one day we'll have a big dog. And they said, a big dog like that? And he said, Jai Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you fools, what do you want a big dog for? And exposing everyone in this way for being for just Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, and not thinking. Yes, we can. We must think before we accept things, not just blindly accepting this and that and think, yes, maybe it is useful. There is, of course, a difference between the Brahmachari ashram and the Grihastha ashram. And I often say the Brahmacharis, they should every once in a while clean their room. You know, yes, believe it or not, they should. And the advice then to the Brahmacharis is put everything out of the room. Whatever is in there, put it outside. Yeah. All of it. Yeah. Till the room is completely angry. Not angry. completely empty. Sorry. The room is completely empty. And then, as you're about to put things back into the room, you ask three times, do I really need this? Do I really need this? Do I really need this? And if the answer is yes, it goes back in. But if there's any doubt, it doesn't come back in. The Grihastha ashram is just the opposite. The Grihastha ashram is like, well, you know, if we can use it, why not have it? And you know, even if we don't use it now, it might come in handy later. And in this way, just bring it in, yeah? And store it somewhere in the house, you know. And it's like, no, we have one of those things. No, I know we have somewhere. Just like digging deep, you know, and finding all this stuff, right? And of course, that it's all junk, excuse me. Most of it, 80-90% is junk, totally. You never use it. It's just taking space, and it's just standing in the house. Once a year in Amsterdam, we have our Festival of the Queen's Day, and besides having a huge party, it is also a spontaneous flea market. And you know, it is a huge flea market in the city, and it is allowed that day for everyone to put things up on the street. And you know, everyone takes his junk out of the house, all those things, the old lamp that has been standing on somewhere on the loft for forever, that nobody ever looks at, nobody will ever look at, everything, you know, old clothes, old you know, the broken musical instrument of your great-grandfather, which you have been carrying around for to so many residences. And then once a year, it comes all out on the street for the flea market, and people buy it. They buy junk that day, right? And they take it home, and they don't do anything with it, but next year they bring it back out for the Queen's and they sell it, you know? And like this, it's going on. That junk, and that's all it's good for selling on the Queen's Day. Total junk, has no purpose at all. And actually, most things in life are like that. I have reduced my life to 20 kilos because that's what the airlines allow me, and that's it. So a life in 20 kilos. Right? Of course, you know, sannyasis, they like, you know, things that are powerful and small at the same time, right? Like, you know, a little mini torch that is extremely powerful, right? Like that. But very small at the same time. Now, that's sannyasi stuff, right? Any sannyasi goes, oh, what is that? Because when you live a life in 20 kilos, you have to think twice, right? What you're going to take. If you take a torch, you know, this size, one of these super big mech-like torches of pure metal from America that weighs 7 kilos, that's one third of your quota. Yeah? So you have to be very, very careful about weight and size. And all this, a life in a suitcase. And then I have this suitcase, and then actually 80% of the stuff in the suitcase never comes out. Always stays there, goes from place to place and stays in the suitcase. And I may use it once a year, Yeah. And otherwise, I never use it. And I take it around once a year, I use it. And, you know, I couldn't possibly survive that one time a year without it as well. That is actually how it is in traveling. In one realizes that one can do with very little. That is the traditional way of life, to live with very little. Of course, that brings austerity with it. And such austerity may be performed, but austerity takes energy. There is no doubt about it. If we go and sleep outside in this kind of weather, just on a cardboard box, we will probably not die. And there are many bums in the cities of the world sleeping on cardboard boxes outside. You see them in the day with a trolley loaded up with all kinds of coats and some sleeping bags. Usually they wear 3-4 coats, right? 2 pairs of pants and so on, and then in the sleeping bag and somehow on the cardboard box. Well, one can live like that, but it takes energy, a lot of energy. Then one cannot do other things. So previously, sadhus in India were living very, very much like that. In many places in India, the word sadhu is the equivalent for beggar. You know, sadhu means beggar, or beggar means sadhu. In the dictionary, you can. For many people, it's like that, because many sadhus, they were living just like the beggars, the same. The beggar sits on the street, and the sadhu sits also on an old bag, and he sits on the ground like that. Some sadhus have even become like that. They got the mood of beggars also. They only wear the clothes to get better arms. Right? But a real sadhu was also living like that, very simple and very basic. And yes, so shouldn't our ISKCON devotees live a little more like that? Maybe they should. What do you think? Everyone in favor? Yeah? Yeah. I'm not hearing anything. Yes. Are you all enthusiastic? You're sure? I might hold you to it. Especially those who said yes, I recorded it. Anyone? Yes. Sure. It must be more austere, more simple. Just go back to the more traditional sadhu life. Is it? You say yes, but you do like that. It wasn't like yes. It wasn't that. It was really that. Yes. He says yes. No, it's not sure. All right. So, well, we see that in our Sampradaya, previously the six Goswamis, Sankhya, Purvaka, Ghana, Namana, Tibi, they were chanting, many rounds. Chakchapurnamasi samandalapati shenim sada tuchavat. They were living a life of great renunciation. Sanatana Goswami got an old dhoti, tied it, cut it in 4 pieces. Right? He wore one piece at the bottom, one piece at the top, and then he had 2 sets. Right? 2 sets of cloths, and 1 strip he cut from either end for the coffins. Finished. That was it, right? No shopping in Loy Bazaar or or online or here, whatever your bazaar is called up there, right? No fancy kurtas with you ever had kurtas with fancy diamond stitching from 6 Finger Tailor? No. In Loy Bazaar, 6 Finger Tailor makes for you special diamond stitching. You can even have double diamond stitching. With open seams everywhere. With the seams are like embroidered to you, like, oh, like pretty cool. Yeah. So you can have all these things, the pleasures of life. Did you have Shantipur dhotis with like, you know, huge borders, 20 centimeter borders,
right,
for like many lines and stripes, and then you can wrap it around, right, different ways to wrap a dhoti. You can wrap it around leaving a little skirt, which you wrap around three times around the waist, but three little skirts like that. Farah, teach you all the tricks, right? Ladies can, of course, also go berserk. They can wear the saris Bengali style, but you need to tie some keys on the end, otherwise they don't stay. It's Bengali system. Or Gujarati, or different styles, even the Oriya style of sari wearing, you can have a tail, like with the dhoti in Orissa. So there are many different ways of what you can do with cloth. You can, for the man, you can tie your dhoti and pull up one point, take it like this, and tie it around your waist, and you get ruffles in the front and like a belt. You can, you know, you can just take a regular piece of cloth, and put knots everywhere, a knot here on the shoulder, a knot there on the shoulder, and then hang it up, a knot here, a knot there, and then you take the two flaps on the back, you pull the flap up, pull the flap from the front, you tie it around your waist with a knot in the front, and you've got yourself a homemade kurta of non-sewn cloth with specially even built-in pockets at the front. Yes, there are many wonderful ways. We can wear South Indian dhotis with golden embroidered borders, you know, matching each other to go with it. Yes. So like that, you know, there are so many things we can do. We can get kavachas, we can get nisringa rings, we can get astrological stones to counteract inauspicious influences. Boy, oh boy, what you cannot do. You can get radhakund neck beads, like with huge leaves on them, and you know, with maha mantras written all over them. And then you have, like, of course, all the harinam kurtas, and you have colored kurtas, and you have different stripes. Then you can go with the length of the kurta. You can have kurtas up to your ankles, although you cannot wear a topi at the same time, otherwise you look like belong to another tradition, like a Muslim. But you know, the length of the kurta is a big thing. A kurta over your knees, boy, what a profile, right? Like that, there is no end to it, and all that we can give it up. We can give it up. We can actually simplify these things. It will help. It will be better to stay simple. Because on the other hand, there is also room for some sense enjoyment in that way. If we cannot sport just all the far out dresses that people in the material world are dressing in, then we can go wild on dhotis, and in this way we can, within safe boundaries, express our material desires, have some sense gratification, but it is not forbidden. Well, like that, but we see that ultimately these things will not ultimately not be so beneficial. These are really distractions and really not so much required. If we can keep it a little simple, it's better. Much better. Because it doesn't only give us more time. If we have less, it doesn't just give us more time to chant Hare Krishna, but it also causes less distraction while chanting Hare Krishna. If the mind is in so many things, the way I look, the things I have, and so on, then the chanting of Hare Krishna comes in between so many things. And that is generally the situation. The question, how can I chant more attentively, is a question, well, in how many things are engaging your mind? Think of all the things. Look at how many keys you have. Look at how many keys you have, and then you know how many things engage your mind. The more keys you have, the more things you got on your mind. That's the nature of keys. Of course, for Krishna, you know, you may wind up with many keys, even more keys than you ever had before. But just think about the keys. Put all the keys of the table. The key of the car. The key of the safe. The key, the front door key, the back door key. All the keys, so many keys. You know, there's no end to it. You have nowadays you have passwords, right, for everything. You know, you have to have all these passwords. And then in computers, you have a password safekeeper. One place where you put all your passwords, and there's a password on your password safekeeper. I forgot the password to my password safekeeper. I couldn't remember it. You know. But fortunately, you can get software which can crack passwords, so then you can crack the password of your password safekeeper so that you can get all your passwords. So life gets so complicated, and in this way we forget Krishna, we forget to chant. So in our private life we want to keep it simple, so therefore there are four types of sannyasis mentioned here, but there are also four types of grihasthas. One is the bharta is the professional. The next one, I forgot the Sanskrit names, to tell you the truth. The next one is the accumulator. He is always accumulating. And then there are two stages of grihastha that are also quite renounced. One is trying to live by simple means and in this way minimize his needs and maintain by simple work. Another one even comes to the point of no longer working and just collecting the grains that are left over on the field or in the marketplace. After the market is over, they go around and pick up the things that are left over, and they live from the leftovers, like that. It's possible. Our devotees have many times gone to the markets and asked for some leftover things. They give you heaps. You have to cut off the bad part. But that's how the Hare Krishna movement started, with the Sunday feasts. They used to go collect all the things that were left over, cut off the bad part, and put the rest in the Sunday feast sabji. Anyway, I won't tell you about what's going on here to spoil your appetite. But the point is there. Simplicity in our life is useful in our private life because it gives us more time for chanting Hare Krishna. But then, in public life, in preaching, just the opposite, use it all, yes, if we can. Prabhupada was thinking big, right? Many of us, we joined this movement, and we gave away many of our possessions before we joined the movement, because we thought, now we're going to be renounced. So I gave away my car, I gave away my recording studio, I gave away many things, and then I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Okay. That was quite common. You gave things away. But now, the opposite. In the service of Krishna, no, we need many things. We want to use all the things of the world so that we can spread Krishna consciousness more effectively. But in a private life, simple. That is the idea. So In this way, we are different from Lord Risabdev, because we're having a preaching mission now in this day and age. And in this preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, we need to penetrate in all layers of society. And therefore, yes, you can have a fancy silk kurta way over your knees, you know, one of those really fancy ones, when you are meeting government people. Yeah? If you go and meet government people, you can dress up in your most spiffy way. Yeah? No problem. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put his sannyasis in silk. Yeah? In silks. And Prabhupada was wearing silk. And Prabhupada was even wearing like those little buttons, right? Those little, you have these little sort of golden or other type of buttons that go in the kurta like that. Very paka. Paka, yes. No problem at all. For preaching, yes. For preaching, yes, we do. So that we look respectable. So that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching in the middle of an India where the word sadhu and beggar had practically become equivalent. And if some sadhu come, yes, you know, give him 5 rupees and, you know, or give him something and send him away, right? You know, that's all. Give him little rice, come to the shop, you know, go around the shopkeepers, okay, give him 10 paisa, next one, you know, and like that they go around. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted something else. No. Show that we are respectable. Show that we are not cheap. Show that we are presenting something precious, something valuable, something important. So for that, yes, we can dress up. Right? No problem. But in private life, simplicity has to be there. And it is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who took Vaishnavism over the bridge from tradition to modernity, to the modern times where we are now. And in modernity, things began to look a lot different. Suddenly, sadhus would drive around in cars. He did. And now, you know, a sadhu in a Mercedes, that's all right these days. That was unthinkable. You know, what kind of sadhu? They were criticizing him. He came in a car and they said, you know, what is this? Some Babaji said in the back, is he a follower of the Goswamis? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta heard it, turned around, snapped back and said, yes, a follower of the Goswamis who is doing the work of the Goswamis by preaching and not one who is imitating the Goswamis by trying to be renounced. Yes. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that cars, planes, and all these things, he said that actually no one in the world should use these things. He said no one has the right to use these things. The only one who has the right to use cars and planes and all these things are the devotees. No one else. No one else. Because they can use it for Krishna. I like that philosophy, and I think it should be introduced around the world so that we get some space on the planes. It would be really good. So I'm all for this. Yes. But that was his philosophy. Yes, it should only be used by devotees. Only by devotees. So, devotees, when we came to Krishna consciousness, we came and in the mood of being very simple. And then we found that Prabhupada had an agenda to make our life very complicated. For example, in my case, my parents, my father was into having a big house and expensive furniture inside and any antiques and other things. And anyone who would come to the house would get a full tour of the house. It would take at least half an hour, as if it was a museum, you know? Yeah? And here is the hall with the Italian tiles. They came from, you know, some came from Carrara, and other came from Sierra, and this marble, da 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 da. And here this little table is actually 350 years old, it was used by da 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 da, you know, and you know, and this is the room of the dog, and this is the room, and this is the study with an old oak desk, yes, and so on. And the whole, you know, and this wallpaper is not paper, it is actually cloth, yes, it's textiles, yes. Nowadays they don't make this anymore, but there still are some places in the world where they make this ancient wallpaper of textiles, and with great difficulty we obtained it, and you know, like, things like that. Okay, so I became allergic to these things, right? I developed an allergy and about people decorating their houses, so therefore when I moved out of my parental home, I decided to not play the game and have nothing. And even when I got married, I made my former wife give everything away. I had a trick. I made her go to India with me, overland. It's a long way from Europe. And I told her, you can bring whatever you like, but you have to carry it yourself. And I held her to it. So that was a training, it was a strategy, that will make her a little detached, and then, you know, once she's simple, I'll never let it back in the house. So we lived like that, like devotees in Vrindavan, very simple. We had each had their own mat, each had their own trunk for clothes, because otherwise the mice eat the cloth, and for books, okay, we had some books, but no fancy bookshelf, no, some planks, top of bricks, okay, she put Harinam chalas around the bricks to make them, to decorate them. I allowed that. Yes. But then we had a big fight about a chair. She wanted a chair. And it was a big war. And she won that one. She got her chair. And that chair stayed throughout our marriage, which was a bit renounced, with as a symbol of her victory. The chair, you know, is her chair. Anyway, so we lived in Vrindavan. It's a little different in Vrindavan than here. A little more simple. But the point was that simple living is favorable for spiritual life. If we want spiritual life, then we should minimize. So my whole mood was keep everything simple and simple and simple. But then Krishna is not just a dry lord. Krishna is the lord who has a sense of humor. So what did Krishna do? Krishna made me in charge of finishing Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi in Mayapur, which is the biggest building, and I was particularly becoming in charge of the final stages of cladding the building with marble and all the decoration, etc. Right? So, you know, I was so against decorating buildings and houses, and then Krishna said, oh, okay, you know, here, I'll give you the biggest one, the biggest building ever. I was in charge of making endless arrangements for columns and pillars and this and that, and my God, what an entanglement. But I had to do it for Krishna. Right. So in this way, Krishna showed me, all your renunciation, what will it do? Right? For my service, yes, nothing but the best will do. Yes, nothing but the best. A Rolls Royce, not good enough. A golden Rolls Royce, Prabhupada said. So in this way, we keep this balance between what we use in our private life and what we use in our preaching life. And it's interesting. So if we get too austere, is the last thing I'll say, in a private life. Like, I can live simple and cook on firewood, and I can go into the forest here in Melbourne, no problem. And, you know, I can go with my bullock cart, and I can go and get some forest, go to the forest far away, get some firewood and bring it back. I can, but it will take a long time, a lot of effort, to chop all that firewood, and basically you're the whole day busy with cooking in that way. Right? I mean, just cooking, that will take all the energy, you know, to kind of chop the firewood, bring the ingredients. So Therefore, we use modern amenities. We cook either on gas or electricity. It's quick and easy. Then we have time and energy left for preaching. So I could sleep in super austere conditions, but okay, you know, I mean, the old bones might just feel a little bit of discomfort. So, no, we sleep on a bed and then use the energy for preaching. So in this way, our austerity is of a different nature. We put the austerity on the side of preaching and then a little comfort on the other side. That's all right. But if one uses comfort and one is not preaching, then that comfort will just sink us into the swamp of material existence, which is like mud that sucks you down and down and down and down until at last there's a hand sticking out of the mud, and then what will you do? Then someone has to pull you out. Balance, balance, balance. Thoughtfulness has to be there. Any questions? Any comments? Such a heavy lecture. It's dead silent. Everyone is shocked.
You don't have to endeavor separately to be renounced. You just engage everything in the service.
I don't know if that's what I said.
I think I've heard this before.
Oh, you heard from someone else, but not from my lecture. No. Because in my lecture, I said, no, we should endeavor to keep it simple. There's an advantage to keep it simple in our private life. We should definitely endeavor in our private life. If we can keep it simple, then there's less distraction. It's like I always say, if any devotee would like to invite me for a special program, then we can do that. You invite me to your house, I'll come with the kirtan party. With the kirtan party, while calling out loudly Hari Bol and Jai Jai, we walk up to the television, we all pick it up, we take it upstairs, and we open the window, and under loud Hari Bols, we throw the television out of the window. Right? And anyone who wants to invite me for such a program, I'm always ready. Just let me know. Yeah. So in our own private life, some simplification may be helpful. Yeah. But then for Krishna's service, yeah, we use television. Yes, yes. We can use it. Computers, everything. So it's not so straightforward that you just say, oh no, don't worry about it. Just worry about the austerity that comes in service. No, there is something more. We have to make an endeavor to be simple according to our need and nature. We don't have to be simple to a point where you go insane. Right? You live in the garden shed and the house is empty because, you know, Maharaj gave this lecture and, you know, this is now what it's going to be. I'm really sorry. But that's not the lecture. The lecture is, but do it in a natural way, but be a little conscious that things are entangling and distracting from chanting Hare Krishna. There's no doubt about it.
Thinking, for example, if you spend your time looking after the Krishna's house, then you're just automatically not be so interested in your own experience.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. Yes?
What I'm understanding in philosophy is that there's a lot of variety, but you're supposed to use the variety, utilize the variety of Krishna. Now, at some point, I think we all go through this way, in choosing a particular variety, the intention is for Krishna. And, but when you sort of possess the variety, that intention changes. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, you have to be careful with that. I saw this very nice four-wheel drive with a number plate for you, Krishna? And I was going to, well, I was going to add a question mark, you know, because I wasn't sure, you know. I mean, it's not so easy, huh? Things like that, we're using it all for Krishna. And we may use it for Krishna. How much percent are we using it for Krishna and how much percent for ourselves? So, yes, we have to, again, find a balance there. Find a balance. And every once in a while in his life, take a little inventory and think, yeah, am I really needing this in my service? Is this really an asset? Or can we do without it? Prabhupada was not into just using anything in the service of Krishna. For example, there was the telex machine that came in Prabhupada's time, and they had one in New York and one in LA, and they were very proud. The BBT had it, and they came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we can immediately communicate with each other. And then they sent a message, Srila Prabhupada is standing here next to me, please respond. And then a message came from New York, dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our most humble obeisances. So they said, should we have one of these machines in every temple? Yeah. Prabhupada said, no, you'll only use it for gossip. and just see, and now we have better than telex, now we have email and Facebook and everything, right? So, you know, we use Facebook for preaching, and how much time are we spending there, and so on. So we have to really be careful with that. And I think you cannot accept everything for Krishna. But there's no rule that I can give you. I cannot say, like, this is the borderline. It's not like that. It's one has to judge with intelligence. Everyone has to judge. But just, my lecture was not about everyone, be so renounced, be so renounced, be so renounced. That was not the lecture. The lecture was, but it started with Rishabhdev, who was so renounced. And that's where it all started from. And then I tried to translate it into our life. The conclusion of my lecture should be, just be a little conscious of the danger of the material energy that we engage in the service of Krishna, and see that it is entangling, and that we should therefore be a little reserved, and see if things are really beneficial in Krishna service. If they're not really beneficial, let it go. We don't need. But you have to judge. We have to judge for ourselves. I mean, I cannot set one border, one limit for everyone. It's not so simple. Yeah, one has to judge.
You mentioned to be thoughtful.
Yeah.
Be thoughtful.
Be thoughtful.
At that point.
Yeah. Vrajanat.
Making our life more complicated.
No, it is making our life more complicated. If we could have a life which was just simple across the board, simple at home, simple in our occupation, and as live a pure Krishna conscious life, nice, you know what I mean, but simple, then that would be very nice. We would actually, after a while we would become a little detached, and we would actually start liking it. You know, actually start liking from, yes, some less distraction, and actually would feel more Krishna conscious. In my case, I lived in Vrindavan in the late 70s and early 80s, and at that time the phone didn't work. We had one phone in the temple. Sometimes it would ring, but you could never hear anything. Hello! Hello! You know, those were the days of trunk calls. You had to book them. Tick, 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 operator. Yes, operator. Trunk call. Yes. Long distance call. You had to book. Didn't work. You had lightning call. Very costly. And then you get 3 minutes to Delhi from Vrindavan. Cost you a fortune. Right? So, you know, so we just didn't communicate. The post was so slow in India. If I'd write a letter to my mother, she'd get it 6 months later. The reply would also take 6 months. I might as well throw a bottle in the Yamuna. That might get there earlier, you know, with a letter inside. Right? So, you know, I gave up on all that. Life became very, very simple in Vrindavan. It is the nature of Vrindavan. It was very, very simple. I was describing a little bit how we lived. We would take water from the well with the bucket and the rope, you know, very traditional. Best time of my life, Rajanath. Best time. Actually, you know, just living like that, it was automatically favorable for Krishna consciousness. It was so nice. Now, you know, my life is much more complicated. Yeah. Now I'm telecommunicating with people. I am on Facebook to preach, you know, I'm everywhere, right? On the internet, I've got a website, I got a guy walking around with a camera all day long, you know, to keep people satisfied, taking pictures. Drives me crazy sometimes. But you know what to do? I'm living in the modern world. I'm trying to connect to people in this modern world, preach. I'm part of the whole global village, right? I've got relationships in Melbourne, in Johannesburg, in Amsterdam, in, you know, in Rio de Janeiro, everywhere, right? With people all over the planet. Why don't I just have people that live next door? Why don't I just preach to the neighbors, right? To my own street, yeah. Why don't I just sit down in a village and give lectures in the village? Life would be so easy. But all right, it's not this moment right now. But we are using computers to get rid of computers. We're using cars to get rid of cars. Phones to get rid of phones. We're fighting fire with fire. We're calling around so that one day there will be a world where there will be no more phones. That is the movement you're part of. A world that wants to get rid of phones. Oh my God. Yes. No more phones. It's fantastic. Shh. Can't wait. It's going to be good. My dear Rajanath, Srila Prabhupada also wanted that. He wanted both. He wanted that we would have farms, and that on the farms people would live very simple. He said, no electricity, just use castor oil and have oil lamps and make your own cloth, grow your own food, even make your own cloth. So he's taking it quite far, you know, no electricity and making your own cloth. cloth, what to speak of growing your own food. But you know, Rajanath, nobody did it. Everyone just acted as if he didn't say it. And everyone who stayed in the cities, and the devotees that used to stay on the farms, they would sell paintings in the city or do some other business, but and make their money from the city and drive up and down to the farm. Or leave the family there and go for a week and come back. Yeah, because no, and the land, you know. When you have an ISKCON farm, yeah, anywhere in the world, you just go to the farm and you say, oh, that is our land, and that's the land of the neighbors, isn't it? You know, the land of the neighbors is green, lots of things growing, and then the ISKCON land, you know, it looks really like nothing grows there. It looks really miserable. You know, a few forgotten cauliflowers. But you can exactly see, right? You can exactly see what is the ISKCON land and what is the land of the neighbors. Interesting. So somehow or other, we need, in our movement, there are a few fronts where we need a few heroes. And we need heroes to go to China or to Africa and preach. And we need heroes who will go and live on the land and go and live simple. Because it is true that if we show people that actually we are having the positive alternative also, then that will impress them a lot. And we stay behind. We have a great philosophy about simple living, but you know, we are staying behind. There are people who are really way ahead of us in living on the land. So we need a few devotees to go live on the land. So, my dear Vrajana, if you're inspired, they have my blessings. But then again, if you wish to preach in the city, you can also do. In general, I would say that the cities are for the renunciants, and for the householders, live on the farms. Because in the city, if you are renunciant and you don't need much, then you don't get so compromised. But as a householder, you need more. If you live in the city, you become more compromised. I mean, it's not me. It's not that I'm on a sannyasi trip this morning. I want to make it very clear, you know. I mean, what did Maharaj eat last night? You know? And he was really like on a sannyasi trip this morning. But the fact of the matter is, you know, that it's about Lord Resabdev. What can I do? Just make it clear. By using things for Krishna. Because when we use things for Krishna, then gradually we lose the interest in the thing because we become attached to serving Krishna. So you take the material things that you're attached to, start using them for Krishna, and gradually we become more attached to Krishna than to the things. That's what happens. That's called Yukta Vairagya. So it's very interesting how that works. To engage them in the service of Krishna and will become detached. Because you get attached to Krishna. Then why do we care about these material things?
In the context of today's discussion about attachment and detachment, could you throw some light on the role of charity work?
Charity.
Because I heard, I'm a little bit confused about this. I heard that Krishna maintains everybody, so we don't have to help the poor. So I'm a bit confused about the role of charity.
Yes. Krishna maintains everybody, but Krishna also Krishna maintains the poor. So, but Krishna also maintains the poor through the wealthy. The wealthy have a duty to care. And if one is feeding the poor, that is pious activity. So one gets punya. So for a conditioned person, it is good to do punya, to give in charity to the poor, to feed them, to dress them. But better than giving money is to give facility, like, because money may be misused, whereas food and dress and things like that, okay, that's less chance of being misused. Of course, even that gets misused, but because they sell it and things like that. But all right, then there is charity that is given to a qualified brahmana. Such charity is higher, because we are helping the brahmana to put transcendental knowledge into the world. There is, therefore, one who gives charity to the brahmanas, he gets more benefit, and he gets from, it's still punya, but greater punya, and such punya will give one wealth in the next life. Then if one gives to the self-realized soul, one gets unlimited benefit, and one begins to make spiritual benefit. So there is charity on different levels. And so as Vaishnavas, we should focus on spiritual charity, on the highest charity. Yes. So our aim is not to do all the types of charity. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, we have no time for earthquake relief, flood relief, and all these kinds of relief, because we are doing the highest relief work, the Sankirtan, spreading Harinam everywhere. And therefore our contributions will be for that. But at the same time, when we see someone suffering a lot, then we are not so hard-hearted that we do not care. And we try and give something, but in an intelligent way. Because if you give a beggar money, they may buy intoxicants and so on. So, okay, try and give some food, try and give some cloth, something to help us. That is also there. That is also there. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was advocating that we should give to the poor. In Chaitanya Sikshamrita, which is one of his main literature, you will find that this is mentioned. So it's not that we are not, that we are against giving to the poor, but intelligently. But the bulk of our fund is meant for spreading Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, though, we may give to some brahmanas. In Vrindavan, the brahmanas come and they want something from us. All right, give it to them. They're poor, give them something. No problem. Like, I used to I live in India, and then, you know, the rickshawalas and such a thing, you know, they rip you off and this, that, and you have to bargain them down. And I was like, I was good at it, and I was tough, right? I would bargain them down like anything. Now I'm soft. Now I think they're poor. Actually, they're poor, you know. So I think, okay, give them a little extra, big deal, you know. Not outrageous, but something. Now I'll give them something. They're poor. I don't cut them down to the lowest price, you know, because they're poor. So yes, we must be compassionate. And charity has its place. But we're not gonna, you know, it is interesting that then you get like food relief, right? And everyone wants to give charity for that. Everyone. But it is more important to give for printing books. Yeah? It's more important for giving to spread money, to give money for spreading transcendental knowledge. That will uplift people. Because prasadam distribution is a support. Prasadam distribution by itself is not enough. The process for the age is Harinama, Harinama, Eva, Kevalam. It is the chanting of Hare Krishna. It's not about eat yourself back to Godhead. Yeah. But it helps to take prasadam. But you can't just, without chanting each yourself back to Godhead.
No.
Therefore the chanting must be accompanied, or the food for life must be accompanied by the chanting. And to give charity for disseminating transcendental knowledge is the highest. But we see devotees also, food relief, food relief, food relief. You see, food relief is swimming in cash. And the temples are suffering from poor maintenance. We see it in Vrindavan. No one gives to the temple. Everyone gives for food for life. Yeah? They don't know what to do with their money. Yeah? And the temple is old. Prabhupada's temple is old and broken. Yeah? So where should the charity be given? We are done. Thank you so much. Shri Prabhupada.